Did you know that collagen makes up 30% of the protein in your body? It's the substance that gives structure, support, and strength to your skin, muscles, bones, and connective tissues. Collagen is what keeps our skin firm and youthful, preventing it from sagging. It also supplies amino acids that are crucial for building healthy hair and protecting hair follicles. The collagen supplement that I use and recommend to my patients is Revive by Bright Core Nutrition. Revive combines five types of collagen with hyaluronic acid and biotin to heal and nourish your skin, hair, and nails. Studies show that collagen also helps relieve joint inflammation and pain. If you're looking to heal your body from the inside out and reverse some effects of aging, Revive could be your answer. For more information and to order, visit mybrightcore.com/Hoffman. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman or call 888-592-9909. That's 888-592-9909. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, buy two bottles of Revive and get one free, plus a collagen sheet mask as a free gift. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman for Revive Multi-Collagen Protein. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today, we're going to talk about long COVID. It is a controversial diagnosis, but nonetheless, it is very real. And I believe today we are going to talk to the author of the first book that addresses the problem of long COVID from a holistic, integrated perspective. He's well suited to do so because he's a frequent contributor here to Intelligent Medicine. Over many years, we've interviewed him frequently. He's Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Dr. Teitelbaum is the author of Fatigue to Fantastic, where he tackled treating post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome or myalgic encephalopathies that's sometimes referred to across the pond. He is also author of a groundbreaking study published in the Journal of Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, showing that an integrative medical approach, his SHINE protocol, which we will describe in further detail, improved quality of life by 90% for a group of 91 patients studied in that particular trial. So I think he's eminently suited to talk about what is, for many, a baffling condition, long COVID. So welcome, Jake. It's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine. Always a pleasure.
Ron, always great being with you. And aloha from the Big Island to everybody out there. For those of you who have fatigue, brain fog, or insomnia, and even widespread pain, whether from fibromyalgia or for unknown purposes, or just never got right after long COVID, we are going to teach you how to recover. This is all very crucial.
Okay, so it is doable, and you know, but this is in contrast, Jacob, to the enormous amount of study and effort that's being poured into exploring this phenomenon of long COVID. I believe that in the COVID Recovery Act, or call it what you will, the Inflation Reduction Act, there was some money tacked on, an enormous amount of money relative to previous allocations for chronic fatigue syndrome, which has barely been studied. For examining the problem of long COVID. And yet, I've looked at the studies. The studies are inconclusive. Some studies suggest that people do graded exercise. That's controversial. Other people say, how can you exercise when you're exhausted? It makes you feel sicker and crappier. And so we're left with scientists pondering this issue, and maybe in a decade or two, we'll lick the problem of long COVID. But in the meantime, people are suffering.
Well, it's the same thing we saw with multiple sclerosis, which you call it hysterical paralysis, with lupus, which was considered a neurosis, with fibromyalgia, and now they're doing the same damn thing all over again. The Congress allocated $1.25 billion, that's about 100 times the fibromyalgia budget previously for research, and that the people in charge of the research decided we don't have to have anybody who has a clue about these diseases be getting any of the money.
Okay.
And they basically pissed it all away with nothing. But these are very, very treatable conditions. We have eight studies. during effective treatments. There's no lack of effective treatments. That the system is broken doesn't mean you have to wait 30 years for them to figure it out.
So let's start with a controversy about long COVID, because on the one hand, you have statistics suggesting that I read one study that suggests that double digits of people suffer from long COVID. And yet there are some people, maybe there's a political dimension to this, who deny the importance of long COVID. They say that long COVID doesn't really exist as a separate entity. Yeah, people, you know, get the flu. People have had, post-West Nile syndrome, post-mono. And yeah, the vast majority recover spontaneously within 6 months anyway. So it's not a biggie. So what's your take on that?
Yeah. Now, you know, whether you're going to call it whatever you want to call it, that's fine. The bottom line is there's not a controversy among researchers about the existence of long COVID. We know that it exists. We know that it's a very real physical and devastating condition. The ones who say otherwise are insurance companies who say, well, we don't want to pay disability, or doctors who are just too friggin' lazy to look at the research. And they say, well, I don't know what's wrong with you, so you're crazy, which is what, as I mentioned, used to happen with multiple sclerosis, used to be considered hysterical paralysis. And that's abusive. It's no longer acceptable. A doctor can say, I'm sorry, I don't know what's wrong with you. Can't help you, sorry. Versus, that's okay. But saying, I don't know what's wrong with you, and then implying to you or your family members that you're crazy, that is abusive behavior. When you come across a doctor who does that, I recommend you stand up, say, thank you for letting me know so quickly what a complete and utter asshole you are. I want an abusive son of a bitch. So walk out, slam the door, say, call the police. This guy's an abusive monster. Seriously, because that's what the person is, male or female. Go online and let everybody know.
Okay.
There's no call for that anymore.
That's a form of long COVID denial. Yeah.
It's a form of abuse. Now, what you'll find that the researchers do is the question is taxonomy. What do we want to call it? Is this post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia? Yes, it is. Is it long COVID? Yes, it is. Is it a form of innate immune response? Yes. There's not an argument that it exists, not a real argument, but over its existence and severity. There is the argument about what we should call it. We know it's a very real disease, and we know that it represents post-viral fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome.
So what are some of the hallmarks of chronic, of long COVID? Because it seems that the manifestations are legion.
Here's one of the problems with the definition they came up with. They came up with a politically correct definition that includes everything and everybody, which makes it utterly useless for research. It's as if we had a definition of car crash disease, a diagnosis of that. And not just car crash disease, but electric car crash disease. So now we're seeing people who are in accidents with electric cars, and they're going, oh my God. And they're saying, well, they have the hip fracture. No, it's electric car crash syndrome. But they have a fracture. No, we don't know it's a fractured hip. But it's fractured. We know how to treat that. No, we don't have any research on that for electric car crashes. That's a pretty near analogy to what's happening. So what you want to do is, I'm going to give you some of the more common symptoms, because as I say, the symptoms are legion. But realize you have to look at and repeat, is this loss of sense and smell, which is one thing, lost long COVID, but one thing. Do you have heart failure from the cardiomyopathy or myocarditis? That's another thing. We know how to treat both of those. You have a stroke, then you need to address that. Or you have fatigue, achiness, brain fog.
Less amenable to conventional interventions.
Well, conventional medicine does what's profitable. This. And then there's the whole rest of the toolkit of complementary medicine. Everything I mentioned is now treatable, with the exception of strokes. There's some little bits. So there's some research I'm getting excited about through PEA. We can talk about that in a bit. Mm-hmm. The neuroregeneration and microglial activation and mast cell activation. Finding a missing link through the PEA. Talk about that in a bit. But if you're tired, achy, brain fog, can't sleep, if you have three of those, if it happens since COVID, you have long COVID.
Okay.
If it happened before COVID, you have CFS or fibromyalgia, period. Even if you have another disease like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis, whatever, triggering it.
So do you think that long COVID is very distinct from chronic fatigue syndrome, or does it share many similarities? Like if you did a Venn diagram, it would be like 90% overlap?
If you break out the set, which is usually what people are talking about, tired, achy, brain fog, can't sleep, that group. Mm-hmm. That group is simply post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome with fibromyalgia. That's all it is. It's just like if you have a hip fracture from an electric car crash, it's still a hip fracture.
And there you go.
If we have post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome or fibro, yes, that's what it is. Is it also long COVID? Yes. By definition, any symptom persisting more than 3 months after a COVID infection, even if you stubbed your toe or something, is long COVID.
I read a study recently that suggests that a subfraction of people with long COVID have a persistent infection with the virus, with the COVID-19 virus, that it is somehow morphed into a chronic state, that they find some spike protein floating around in their blood and other COVID viral proteins. And so they're still churning away. It's almost like the immune system hasn't overcome the virus. Do you think that that plays an important role? Because that would suggest, well, let's use powerful antiviral medications and cure it that way.
Well, yes. And so here's the thing. That's one more subset of this condition.
A subset.
It's one subset, an important subset. We know that there's viral reactivation, and most of these are things where you see post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome. You see Epstein-Barr virus reactivate.
Many viruses.
Mm-hmm. And immune system function, adrenal system function goes down. And research showed with COVID, you see the same thing. So, number one, you will get Epstein-Barr reactivation, and the Famvir-Celebrex combination is very helpful for that. You'll see the low adrenal and Adrenaplex, which is a wonderful supplement, very good for that.
Give us a line on that. That's, you've talked about that in the past, Adrenaplex. So the idea being, actually, some of the research has been done on, you know, cortical releasing hormone from the pituitary to the adrenals, and that somehow this is messed up in these people. So how do you wake that up without giving people steroids? I mean, you could give them a prednisone, but that's not a good play.
No, not long-term, not that form. So anyway, what you'll see with the energy crisis, what happens when the body perceives persistent viruses going on, it will go ahead. Viruses don't have mitochondria. They can't make their own energy. They go ahead and they basically hijack our own mitochondria to make energy to reproduce. So the body shuts down energy production, including throughout the body. And the area that goes offline first with low energy is the hypothalamus. It's an almond-sized control center in the brain. That controls the adrenal system. So what you will see across the line, we've seen this research even out of the NIH and from Demitrak and Dale in the 1990s.
Conventional research.
It's old, you know, research. We saw it again with COVID. Cortisol, adrenal stress hormone go down. And how do you tell? The blood tests are miserable. They will miss most people. You tell if you get hangry, you get irritable and hungry. That's low adrenal from low blood sugar.
Hypoglycemic,
yes. Do you get recurrent infections that take forever to go away? That suggests low adrenal. You get lightheaded and standing a little bit, which was a kind of a POTS symptom. That's that same circuit break of the hypothalamus that goes offline when energy goes down, makes adrenal drop, makes your blood pressure control system, autonomic system malfunction. And that's called POTS. Really easy to diagnose. You make the diagnosis at home. If you don't mind, Ron, can I give my email address so people can
sure, please do.
The information sheet.
But what do people obtain? Will they get, you know, some source of information about this or a link to the book or what?
I will give them, basically, if you email me and write this down, it's fatigue, F-A-T-I-G-U-E, D-O-C, @gmail.com.
Fatigue, E-O-C?
No, D-O-C, like
oh, doc. Fatigue doc. Yeah. Okay, fatigue doc. That's right. Yeah.
At Gmail.
At Gmail. Easy. Okay.
Got it. So if you have POTS, let me know. If you have long COVID, if you have chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, let me know. If you have sensitive to everything, let me know. If you can't afford any treatments, you want to know how to get well if you're in poverty, mention that. I'll send us free information, see if you have nerve pain. I'll send you a chapter for my book on that. All of this is free.
It just let me mention that on a personal level, I've always known you for your generosity. I invited you to a conference once, and there was a speaker's fee associated with that. And I said, well, how do I get the speaker's fee to you? He says, I don't care about that. Give it back to your organization or apply it to a good cause. You've always been that way. So thanks for being so generous. Okay. Talk on the theme of adrenal support. You mentioned
Adrenaplex.
Adrenaplex, I'm sorry.
R-E-N-A-P-L-E-X. You have irritable when hungry, recurrent infection, fatigue. It's way cheaper than a divorce lawyer or marriage counseling, which the hangry drives people into. It's a mix of adrenal glandulars, licorice, vitamin B5, vitamin C, DHEA. It has all these things that support adrenal function.
Wow.
One or two capsules a day in a week, you'll find these symptoms smoothed right out.
Great.
And most.
Right. I mean, that may be almost virtually a universal feature of long COVID, even if it's not the whole picture, because it sounds like there's no single fix for this, right? That you need to do a multiplicity of things to get well. Am I correct in assuming?
Yes. This is a cascade problem. One trigger triggers the next problem. And you need to put enough pieces back in place for the body to right itself. It's kind of like if you saw a horse that was carrying 18 bundles on its back and it was staggering and falling and unable to get up. And you're trying to say, which bundle is breaking its back? It's like, no, you take off any four or five bundles, and then the horse is able to get up and move again. You don't have to take care of everything. You take care of enough, your body can get itself like that.
So another theme on long COVID has been investigation of the sympathetic nervous system and what is termed vagal tone. And I think there's some suggestion that maybe supporting vagal tone, and there's some new devices, electronic devices, or various ways, even traditional ways, yoga, meditation, various ways of restoring vagal tone so that there can be a balance in the nervous system. Because I mean, typically people with chronic fatigue syndrome or long COVID, it's kind of like a car where put down the accelerator and it doesn't go, and then you try to put down the brake and the car doesn't stop. It's like you're off to the races when you're trying to relax, and you have no get up and go when you're trying to do something.
Yes, there's a number of pieces going on in the lithium. And we talked about that circuit breaker called the hypothalamus that gets flipped off when energy drops and how it controls blood pressure, pulse, things along those lines. It also controls the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. It plays a regulatory part in that, which is the adrenaline nervous system and the part that helps with relax. The adrenaline nervous system is on overdrive in this disease.
Okay.
It's like putting the car in neutral and flooring it, stepping on the gas.
Yeah.
And then it gets exhausted, and then you have no energy. But the other thing that happens is in the viral infections, in that subset, it often infects the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is the main calming nerve to the body. That's also why many of you have shortness of breath and go to the doctor. And if you have shortness of breath, email me at fatiguedoc@gmail.com and ask for the shortness of breath information sheet.
Oh.
Most of you, it's just vagal nerve or similar things that are not dangerous. And for all these things, I give you simple tests you can do at home that are cheap, that'll tell you on what to do.
Now, just to be sure, some of this information is in the book. I mean, the book is like a more detailed discussion of this chapter by chapter, breaking it down, right?
All of it's in the book. And I invite you to get my You Can Heal From Long COVID book. I invite you to get From Defeat. Fantastic. And not everybody is up for reading a book, especially with brain fog. So I'm happy to offer the gist of things in the three information sheets.
Yeah, it's a feature of chronic fatigue syndrome and long COVID that people can't focus and concentrate. Their eyes glaze over the page sometimes.
Yeah. But the You Can Heal From Long COVID book is meant for brain fog. It's a short, simple, easy read. But it says, here's how you tell, here's what's going on, here's what you do.
News you can use, right?
Yeah. So let me finish one thing with that thing, though. There are many ways to do vagal nerve stimulation. And they can be very, very, very helpful. The other thing is other parts of the nervous system called the limbic system get involved as well. And there are simple techniques. Many of you find you can't tolerate any pills or anything. You're really sensitive to everything. And the way to begin is two things. One, email me for the sensitive to everything information sheet, the mast cell activation. There's techniques for limbic retraining. You can do them online. They're not super expensive. A dynamic neural retraining system for those of you comfortable with the language and yoga and holistic medicine, the PNRS, very, very good. For those who want more intellectual languaging, the ANS, which is Autonomic Nervous System, ANS Rewire, out of Australia, you can also do it online, is excellent. Some people find that one easier. Mm-hmm. Go to both websites. They'll both do the same thing with different language. See which one feels more at home to you and do that. And then there's something called PEA, which is polymicronolithanolamide, which we're finding the missing link between the chronic pain, the sensitive to everything. Body is unable to keep up with production of that. Now, we just started, and if you get back to me in 6 weeks, I'll give you feedback from a whole bunch of people.
Right. Well, so you've really thought this through. So you, in it, where you haven't personally devised therapeutic regimens, you've resourced them basically so that people can access plausible pathways to improving sleep, reducing pain, enhancing energy, dealing with POTS, all the various problems that people experience, right? Because the information's out there. It just needs to be assembled and put in a coherent form.
Oh, but what most of you have is incredibly treatable unless you go to your standard doctor, which does not have the time or the motivation. In fact, gets penalized for treating these things.
Right. They might give you a prescription for Paxlovid, which might work in, 2% of cases.
It's not going to help much for long COVID.
Right.
But these things are treatable. They're very, 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 very treatable. And our goal is to make them, to see what's safe, effective, affordable, and accessible.
Indeed.
And everything we talk about will fit those criteria.
So there's also the aspect, very important aspect of this, which is mitochondrial energy production. So let's talk about some of the things to help restore mitochondrial energy production. I mean, for me, at the tender age of 70 plus, I'm really concerned with mitochondrial preservation and restoration. And I take a bunch of things to support my mitochondria so that I'm energetic and I can think clearly and do these podcasts. And I think that that's a universal imperative for people to be supporting their mitochondria. But what are some of your most plausible ways of doing that?
Well, you want to use what's most high tech and most expensive. You want things that are going to cost at least $20,000 a year, have unknown safety issues, but who brought such a damn expensive medication? I'm pissing over here. I mean, this is what
maybe if you're a billionaire, anti-aging zealot, you could do that. You can afford that.
So, do you want to extend your telomere? Sure, do all of that. But the basics start with a high potency B complex vitamin and magnesium.
Just that.
The core of energy production is a mix of, you look at ATP, look if you take food or anything, your body has to turn it into energy molecules. ATP, NADH, FADH. These are a mix of B vitamins, phosphate, which we get plenty of in this country, and ribose. I've done two studies looking at ribose, wondering, because research suggests that's low in low energy states. And we gave
a favorite of Dr. Steven Sinatra, by the way, the integrative cardiologist. He was big on ribose for heart failure because it is an energy substrate and can help the failing heart.
Works brilliantly. It helps energy production, whether it's from a failing heart, failing mitochondria, low muscles, low brain energy. So what do I start people with? I start them with a good multivitamin. I like Clinical Essentials multivitamin. Come December, mid-December, a vitamin powder that I designed will be back, which I think is the best in the world, which will be called the Energy Revitalization Drink Mix. Very high B vitamins, magnesium, 30 key nutrients, optimal levels, one drink. Easy, easy peasy. Number two, add the ribose. I like to shine ribose because that's the form used in the research. That's what I made. Well, mostly the other stuff.
And you could take teaspoons of that. It's not just as, you know, one 500 milligram pill that is required.
Oh, no. You want a 5 gram scoop.
Okay.
And the taste looks like sugar. It's easy. I just throw it
in. It's sugary.
Taste and without the downside of sugar. So I just throw it in my morning coffee or my morning vitamin drink. So those two wonderful places to start. Number three, coenzyme Q10. Problem with CoQ10 is absorption. There's a new form that's bacteria naturally that adds gamma cyclodextrin, dramatically increases absorption. So one chewable tablet is like about 700 milligrams of CoQ10. I'm pretty energy sensitive. And when I took the first, tried out myself, I could feel my energy rise up compared to other CoQ10s I'm taking.
I think a lot of people are struggling with 100 milligrams, 200 milligrams in the capsules or gel caps. And that may not be enough for someone with a severe energy deficit.
No, but the 100 milligram chewable is like 700. It's plenty. Okay. It's fine.
Because of its bioavailability.
I try to keep the pill countdown for people. And then we did a study of 188 people with chronic fatigue syndrome of fibromyalgia, half of them post-viral. Energy with a special form of ginseng called HRG80 red ginseng. Now, they come in capsules, chewables. Yet they're chewable because the absorption, it has the gamma cyclodextrin. You will cut the cost by 75%.
That's an oral NAD.
No, that's HRG80 red ginseng.
Oh.
It's a special form of ginseng that has...
Oh, ginseng. I'm sorry.
The ketogen senosides. We did a study on that. And again, average 72% increase in stamina in this population. Energy increased 67% on average in the majority of people. So where do I start with? Or do you just want more energy? Take the clinical essentials multivitamin. Take the Terry Naturally CoQ10. Take the HRG80 red ginseng chewable. You're now up to 4 pills a day. And that will double most people's energy. And then smart energy system, if you want to add in another 2 pills a day, dramatically increases healthy energy. It's not hard.
What's your take on some of the newer proposed mitochondrial support things? Been around for a while. NT factor, there's NADH and nicotinamide riboside, or NMN. There's also new kid on the block, urolithin A. Do you feel that those have a place in a protocol to support mitochondria?
Yes, but again, in terms of bang for the buck, what's right. being pushed, and it doesn't matter if it's in natural or pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
What gets pushed is the trendy, expensive stuff.
It can be, exactly. It's more of a luxury item for some people, and especially people who have low productivity due to long COVID. It could be a reach.
And it's no more helpful than the cheap stuff.
Okay.
So, in other words, it's kind of like once I've given, children their main dish, dinner, then I can give them dessert. So these things are dessert. The NADH, and again, I'm very brand picky for some things. So the NADH, I will only use the Inada. Now I use the 20 milligram. I use it predominantly in people with POTS. It helps about 20% of people.
Okay.
But it's pricier. So that's down on my list of things that I add in. Most of these other things, ND factor can be helpful, but in terms of bang for the buck, it's way down on my list.
Well, I think that's an important consideration because you can enumerate all these things and people end up with a bill of $2,500 a month and, they can get equivalent benefits for far less potentially. All right, good stuff. Pause here because we divide our podcast into two parts. I got a lot more to ask you about. The book is You Can Heal from Long COVID, a clinically proven program to regain your health. That book is available from the usual sources, I believe, but you can also get some feedback directly from Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, fatiguedoc@gmail.com, and specify what protocol you're interested in, whether it's sleep, POTS, breathing, and just you will respond because he's he's very generous. He's all about getting the word out about this important healing path. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.